Good morning, folks. Are you hearing me? There we go. That's good. Intimations, welcome this morning, especially if you're a visitor or newcomer. We have to tell you about the Well. They've been running drop-in sessions on Fridays in church. They aim to provide information and support relevant to a range of wellness issues. And there is a poster, I think, in the vestibule, but certainly on the Facebook page if you want more information. The next session will be on the 30th, Friday the 30th. Cycling group is out next Saturday instead of yesterday to Glenfarg and Falkland, and I can give you information if you would like. Coffee mornings, the next one is on Saturday the 7th September, and you can note the 5th of October too. I've been asked to highlight the sheet for helpers. If you can help at either, or especially the next one, please put your name on the sheet, which I'll put back in the vestibule. And I think those are all the intimations I need to mention at the moment, so we'll go to the order of service for those on Zoom. Thank you.
Maybe this is the word of warning this morning, is that this is the unrehearsed service, because normally I have a wee practice down at Limekilns, but it was Gala Week or Gala Day yesterday down there. So one, I spent an awful lot of time just blethering and standing, so my legs are stiff, my brain is fried, and I haven't practiced. So goodness knows what will happen in worship this morning. But we are here in God's presence to give God praise and glory. So let's begin our worship by singing a psalm. It's at hymn number 100, O Lord, Thou art my God and King. Almighty God, receive our gifts and use them in the work of your church and to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our prayers this morning are being led by Marion.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, we come to you in prayer, seeking to offer our worship and to bring our praise. We come to acknowledge your goodness and to declare your steadfast love. Accept what we offer and teach us to honour you in all we are and do. Your goodness is without equal. Your love is beyond comparison. Your mercy beyond understanding. And your power is beyond words. To you be praise and glory, worship and thanksgiving. We thank you for the beauty, strength and stability in the created world around us, for light and colour and the rhythm of the seasons, for the daily gifts of home, food and work, for the people who bring us joy, for all the interests and talents you have given us. We thank you. God, you know us and you love us beyond anything we can comprehend. Our rising and lying down, our going out and coming in. You know our thoughts and you know our hearts. As we have leant on our own understanding, making decisions that are unwise or harmful, forgive us. In your mercy, bless us with wisdom to discern your will. Bless us with grace to forgive others as you forgive us. And now in the words that Jesus taught us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 197. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. This is the point where I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I suspect if I did, the majority of hands would have to go up, because I'm going to ask a question. Have you ever told a lie on an official form? If you've always told the truth, I am very impressed. And please feel free to let me know later about your righteousness, and I will feel my own guilt. You see, it's all about one little box that says, tick here, that declares I have read the terms and conditions. Or maybe more often, I agree to the terms and conditions, which implies that you have read the small print, the legal stuff. We all know we should read things like terms and conditions, and when something goes wrong, none of us like to find that we are in the wrong for not knowing what the terms and conditions said when we ticked the box. The phrase that is often used is, you had this in black and white. That phrase, black and white, is sometimes used to indicate what is very clear, but more often it says you've had this in print, which we either possess or declare that we have read and signed. Maybe it is the idea of a printed document in terms of words like it's in black and white that cause an amusing mistake. Quite a number of people have said to me, can you give me a wee bit of advice on my printer? The black and white cartridge isn't working. Now, we know we get things in black and white, and it means that we've printed, but it's actually a black cartridge. But you'd be amazed at how many people say the black and white cartridge is empty. Perhaps this misunderstanding comes from a strange quirk in our thinking. We give names to things that don't exist, or rather name things that are the absence of something else. We talk of silence as a thing, when actually silence is an absence of sound. We think of darkness as something, when it is an absence of light, just to give a couple of examples. Now, you might be wondering where I'm going with this line of thought, if you've had a think about the kind of title of the sermon and so on, and maybe knowing something about the readings today. The answer is that I came across some interesting thoughts in books that I was reading during my holiday. What was presented was a view of scientific understanding of the cosmos from an atheist perspective. It would be very easy to dismiss atheism as a belief in the absence of God, and for the atheist to dismiss faith as beyond scientific proof, therefore mere conjecture. Science and scientific method were elevated to a place of ultimate intellectual integrity. And it had a real feel of, this is the holy place, science. And the scientist, in purest form, is the high priest of this new holiness. I marvel at how the universe works. I have a habit of reading science, and actually these books were about science, but with a slight twisted. If you want to know more about the books, I can tell you later, because people tell me I'm boring when I get onto this subject. I do marvel how the universe works, but the bigger questions, the science questions about how it works, miss the really big question And that big question is why? Why are we here? Why does it work? Why is the universe the way it is? And science is very good at saying, this is how it works, this is how this leads to that, to the next thing, and you can read any amount of physics, chemistry, biology, and it'll tell you about mechanisms. But for me, the mechanisms point to God. And God answers the why questions. And we do have why questions, not always to do with just the mechanics of how things work, but why things are the way they are. And so we have part of a psalm that begins, Lord, hear my cry. And then we have a reading from Ephesians, a well-known reading about the whole armour of God. And Derek is going to read for us.
The first reading is in the Old Testament. It's from Psalm 143, starting from the beginning. It's a psalm of David. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me, he crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. We go now to the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and it's in chapter 6 from verse 10. And this is the conclusion of a long list of instructions that Paul wrote on Christian living. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. May God bless these readings from his holy word. Amen.
In that reading, Paul uses the picture of the Roman soldier, a very familiar picture to many people, and of course Ephesus was one of the great Roman cities, a great port in the province of Asia, now part of modern-day Turkey. So we sing, Soldiers of Christ Arise, hymn 515. Some years ago, I was attending a funeral of someone I knew quite well. The family had chosen a secular celebrant to conduct the service, and in all honesty, this was done with sensitivity. We celebrated a life, and space was offered for private thought, and for those of us who believed, if we wished to pray, that was the slot. Someone who knew I was a minister, at the end of the service, as we were waiting to file out, said, "What did you think of the service?" My reply was that it had been a good celebration of that individual's life, but something was missing. There was no hope. I've mentioned before that it was the scientist in me that made me ask faith questions, God questions. Actually, before I was a teenager, I can remember having these thoughts in childhood while I was at primary school, when I really knew nothing about God because we were not a church family at that point. I certainly love to know how things work. I get great pleasure from fixing things when they don't work. My love of science is undiminished. When people say there is no God, and often with good personal reasons and all sorts of proofs that satisfy them, what is described is atheism as a kind of spiritual vacuum. And I'm sure we all remember what was said about a vacuum. A saying that is attributed to Aristotle, so it's been around a while. Nature abhors a vacuum. This was restated by François Rabelais in the 16th century, meaning something much more scientific. If we avoid quantum physics, and you might want me to do so, in the world that we observe, this is almost a universal truth. Nature abhors a vacuum. And it is as true of the spiritual side of life as it is of the physical, emotional, and mental aspects of living. Atheism is not a vacuum. It is an absence of faith in God, but that space will be filled with something. Humanism, materialism, individualism, as well as faith in science, can all be used to fill the gap. We all believe in something. There is certainly something in us that believes in good and evil. We are very aware that evil is not merely the absence of good, nor good the absence of evil. Where does good and evil come from? If we are merely a product of chemical process, where do our definitions of good and evil come from? In a deterministic universe, whatever we do is simply something we do. So why is it that one thing we say is good and another thing we say is evil? Some animals fight to death over things like status or territory. And unless we are in the habit of anthropomorphizing animals, in other words, thinking that animals have thinking processes like us, we don't think that that is evil. It is simply the behavior of that animal. But we don't think the same about ourselves. We understand things very differently when perpetrated by human beings. We applaud the good of which we are capable. We despair of the evil of which humanity so often seems to turn to. A mere 25 years ago, much of society was looking toward a new century, a new millennium, and our hope was that we would leave the errors of the past, and particularly the errors of the second millennium and the 20th century, behind us. And very specifically, two world wars. As we approach the end of the first quarter of the 21st century, we are facing many crises in the world today, and many of them look remarkably similar to the world we said we were going to leave behind as we began something new in the 21st century. Humanism may have a belief in human progress. The truth is that we have certainly progressed in knowledge, but the human state is unchanged. We use knowledge for great good, but also for evil purpose. The sins of the past are still on earth today. What Paul said to the Christian community in Ephesus was that their battle to be faithful to God is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual powers of evil. And that is as true today as it was then. Evil exists. The powers of evil may wish us to believe that they do not exist, because if they don't exist, then we are much more easily diverted from what is good. We may think that we are dealing with what is simply human, that evil is to do with individuals or society. But what is it that makes someone do what is clearly so wrong? What is it that makes me do wrong when I want to do good? We may think that the greatest threats come from people like President Putin and his desire for power, or maybe the materialism and greed that has the rich exploit the poor, or our misuse of this earth that is causing so much harm to so many. In the ills of the world, we can be caught up in treating the symptoms and ignoring the cause. Spiritual ignorance is one of the great weapons used by evil. And Paul is very clear that in this battle, we are not unequipped. As people of faith, we are called to faithful obedience. We can sometimes believe that this is found in us depending on human resource. And how many times have we said, right, I really must. And in some way saying, this is in me to do this. In a world where most leaders depended upon ordinary citizens to be ready to fight when necessary, Rome was different. The Roman Empire had a large professional army. They were the greatest power that anyone had ever come across. They were more than anything that had gone before. And the Roman soldier was the picture of Roman power, who was both trained and equipped. And so Paul uses that picture. He says we're not left to our own strength and resource. Yes, we have choices to make, but Paul says, look at the greatest earthly power you can think of, and that is the power of Rome. In God's kingdom, it is God who equips us. the belt of truth around our waist. That belt was used by the Roman soldier for all sorts of things. It held everything together. And the truth we have is God's truth. The breastplate of righteousness in place. If we are right with God, we are right. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The soldier was well shod. Take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Shield, helmet, and sword were a mixture of defense and offense. And that is the whole armor of God. In the world of today, in the society of which we are part, in the church with all its struggles, we may feel like David did, the warrior king, as he prays a lament in the psalm, as he cries out to God because his enemies, it seems, are going to crush him. But these prayers of lament are a declaration of faith because he believes that God is there and God will answer his prayer. Paul gives us words on how we serve God and to ensure that we are constant in prayer. If you notice, after that description of having the whole armor of God, that we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And of course, prayer is our communication with God. The soldier is of no use to the general if he's not in communication. And with this in mind, says Paul, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Sometimes we do look at the world and wonder at what we see, because there is so much that seems so wrong. But people of all ages have said that, and people of all ages have found that in God, in Jesus, in the faith that we profess, is the goodness that we need. And the battle? Well, there's a modern hymn that we've sung here. We certainly sing from it down in Limekilns, and it says, the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, we have a part to play, but the battle belongs to the Lord. And he has equipped us with truth, with righteousness, with a readiness to go, with faith, with salvation, and with his word. We go with the whole armor of God. Amen. With our thoughts about ourselves and our world, we're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and in many ways that is our hymn, our prayer, that leads into our prayer for the world around us, which Marion will lead very shortly. So let's sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Generous and loving God, you feed your children, you care for all the earth. You dare to dream a future for us that is filled with hope and justice. Yet, there are those who go hungry. There are parts of this world that are battered and bruised, torn and tormented. There are those who are imprisoned in despair. Help us to discern how to respond. Give us wise hearts and compassionate minds as we seek to pray, to serve, and to live well in these challenging times. Where there is conflict, may it cease and be still. Where there is poverty, may there be fullness. Where there is inequality, maltreatment and transgression, may there be justice and compassion. May we all know your tending and empowering touch through the presence of your Spirit and through our work with you in making your dream come true here on earth as in heaven. Amen.
We sing now the hymn, Make Me a Captive Lord, hymn number 534, for we recognise that our strength is in God. Go now in the strength of the Lord to love and to serve, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.